When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
I was scrolling through social media. I saw the rebirth of a beef on there. I was laughing about with the staff.
Oh, we have a rebirth beef?
Yeah, we have a rebirth of a beef. And this has to do with our midday show, our guys, BT and Sal. I think this all started back when the Carl Banks, BT and Sal thing happened and Carl stopped doing that show. And then Gary Myers had tweeted out that Carl was not doing that show any longer because those guys treated him like a caller and all this stuff. And then Spike Eskin got involved and they had a fight on the phone. And I guess Gary had a sports take and then BT and Sal were going back at him and Spike got involved. So if you're interested in those things, you go to X and you check it out. It's a rebirth of a beef. But we're above those things,
yeah,
aren't we?
We try to stay above those things.
We are above those things as we welcome in 2024 New York Met, one of the guys that we just loved to watch play last year, a big part of the resurgence all the way to the NLCS, and excited to share Boomer and Geo live stage at the Paramount with him on Friday night as he performs OMG. Jose Iglesias. Jose, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
It is great to talk to you, man, and just what a wonderful year, what a fun ride it was, and you were such a big part of it. At what point when you got there around Memorial Day weekend did you think that this team was going to go from maybe just a team that missed the playoffs to something very special?
I mean, it was a privilege working in that clubhouse, you know, the welcome that they gave it to me. You know, we have great character. We had great leaders on that clubhouse, great human beings overall. Lindor, Alonso, Nemo. I mean, it's just, and I'm just, you know, just got there and get everybody together and, you know, pushing the same direction as a team. And, you know, things start clicking and we start playing better. And, you know, the Suns, we become a big family. You know, it was a very special year for me, for the organization, as a culture. You know, we set the bar high the right way. You know, the work ethic that we're doing it. We fall in love with the process and the result literally took care of himself. I know we fell short, but personally, and I'm pretty sure all the fans and I'm pretty sure the organization, you know, we were very pleased for how much we learned and how far we went. You know, in that playoff, I know the city and the organization was happy about it, and especially I was very, very happy about it.
You know, it was amazing, Jose. Boomer here. Gio comes in one morning and goes, "Have you heard OMG by Candelita?" And I'm like, "Who the hell is Candelita?" and so he explains the whole thing to me and everything, and he decides to play the song for us. And he goes, "You know, this is the greatest athlete song ever, because there have been a lot of athletes that have tried to cross over but have not done it quite as good as you did." And I got, when we first played the song, that first morning, yeah. Remember that, G? You could tell that it was going to be a hit right out of the gate. How long did it make or take you to realize that it was going to be a hit?
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, this is so, you know, thanks to the fans and the people that connect with the energy behind the song and the lyrics. I know it's in Spanish, but I'm going to try to translate and take a pick. In the English lyrics, is very deep. It means, you know, it's a song that is, it come out of my own experience and a lot of immigrants crossing the border and they come to this great country for a dream. And I'm one of them. And I'm very pleased and very proud of everything I've done and everything I'm pretty much, a lot of guys, you know, connect with the lyric. You know, it's a dream come true. It's a dream come true, be able to connect with millions of people and, you know, and especially get us going over the course of a season, you know, get us together as a team, dancing in the clubhouse, celebrating on the bench. It was definitely a dream come true.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't believe that it was your song, and I just said this is so good. This sounds like someone who is just going to be at the top of the charts, and it was amazing. And I still listen to this day. And you can, if you're driving around on Long Island and you hear the song, it's probably coming out of a golf cart that Boomer is in because he plays it. He plays it every round of golf, which is awesome. So, what was it like working with Pitbull?
Well, I mean, you know, Pitt's is a worldwide, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, and you know, it's a privilege, you know, him to collaborate with me on OMG. It's a dream come true. You know, he's been doing it for many years. And, you know, I'm very humble about this opportunity. Also, Silvestre Dangón, he's from Colombia, is a big Latin artist, you know, has actually joined us on the track as well. And, you know, it's a dream come true. I'm not going to lie. You know, I have zero expectations when I wrote this song and when I performed it. And I just love the song. And then I put a lot of passion on the lyrics and put a lot of passion on the project. And people connect it. People feel it. People see it. And, you know, I'm just riding that train and enjoyed every single minute of it.
Talking with Jose Iglesias, who will be appearing with us on Friday night, Boomer and Geo Live at the Paramount, and he'll be performing OMG for us, and Candelita, as he's known by, as when he is singing the song. You know, interesting watching this season unfold, Jose. Do you expect to be back with the Mets this year?
You know what? I hope so. Mm-hmm. You know, I know they are a team that want to win, and, you know, I can help them. I can help them on and off the field. You know, I feel very comfortable there. I connect with the city, with the fans, with the organization, with the culture, with the players. So let's see how that plays out in free agency, but totally up to him and to see what happened. But, you know, most definitely it was a great experience. You know, it's a great experience for me. It's a great experience for my family and also for the city of New York and the Mets organization for sure.
It would certainly be great to have you back, that's for sure. I just want to ask you one question. I want to hear what you hear on the ground right now about a person that we're not allowed to mention his name on this radio show because my partner put the kibosh on that. But there's a guy that's going to sign about a $600 million contract. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, what are you hearing? What kind of stories are you hearing about him and what are the possibilities with him?
You know what? You don't know. You don't know how that plays out. It's going to come down. It's going to come down to him. Where did he want to go and stuff like that? You know, at that point, I don't think it's money related. I think it's more of culture, things that he want to feel comfortable. He wants to win. And I think that the Mets is a great place. We want to win. I know Steve and Alex want to win. And, you know, it will be huge for having him if we get him. If you're not, we got to go beat him.
Yeah, that's right. And after what you meant to this team last year, Steve and Alex Cohen should give you $660 million because everything turned around after you got here. So what was it like? It was tough because of the great season that you had that you didn't end up starting in the last two games of the NLCS, games 5 and 6. What were your emotions during that time?
Yeah, I mean, it was a team, you know, it's all about the team. It's never been about me. You know, it was the manager decision. I respect it. I don't necessarily need to agree with it, but it's fine. You know, I put the team in front of me at this stage of my career. I just want to win. I just want to have fun. You know, I got nothing to prove to no one in the league. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also the number one secret for me. It's putting the team first. Like I did this year and like I will continue to do. And I think that brings the best of me. And it shows, you know, in the energy, because like you can help the team in so many ways, not necessarily with the bat and the glove. That can only help you so much. But when you put your energy and your faith and love to the project and to your team, that shows. It doesn't show on computer. It doesn't show on numbers, but it shows on energy, and energies are huge over the course of a baseball season. And you know what? Whatever the manager decides to put, I'm just ready and available on the bench to come enough. Or if I'm starting, you know, I'm going to do everything I can in my power to help the team win that day.
Yeah, I love the attitude, Jose, and it's exactly what an experienced veteran should bring to a team that maybe could have used a little extra leadership, which we feel like you brought to this team. There's no question about that. I just, you know, I was looking back at your history, and your 2022-2023, like, your baseball odyssey was insane. How many different baseball teams did you play with?
I've been playing for a lot. I don't know, too many.
You went from El Paso to Syracuse. I mean, you were all over the place.
Yeah, it was a mess. It was a mess. I have a lot of respect to the guys in the minor leagues. You know, those guys going through so much. I mean, buzz rides and it's just not cool. But you know what? I have a lot of respect for those guys down there. I didn't have touched minor leagues since 2012, and then I was all those years in the big league and having a decent seasons and all stars and on, and didn't deserve to be in the minors at all. Came Miami, they decided to play that game, and then San Diego got me as also after that. No problem with San Diego at all. They were very, very honest with me, AJ, and the staff. But it was a point where, you know, I don't deserve and I don't belong in the minors, and they understand that. And I took it home. And then I thought it was the end. It was very frustrating because I know I have a lot of baseball left on me. And the baseball has not treated me fair in that aspect. And all the sons, the Mets, you know, call. And first thing I said is, like, listen, if you get me to person losing, just be fair. If I deserve to be in the team, I got to be in it. You know, if I don't look good and I don't perform, that's fine. Send me home. But, and you know what? And they didn't bring fair it either. They said that I didn't break the team, which I deserve to be. But it's fine. So I like the meeting. I have a meeting with David Stern and Carlos Mendoza, and I like the honesty on both of them. And they answer my questions at the time. And I really believe that they're going to need me at some point over the season because I know the players they have and what the goals for Steve and Alex and Mendoza. You know, they want to win, man. They want to win. And I know at some point they're going to need experience. They're going to need, you know, leadership, and they're going to need more than just numbers. And that's when I come and play. They call me up, and the rest is history. I love it there. You know, I'm glad I help, and I'm glad I connect with those great teammates I had.
I mean, regardless of what your future is in Major League Baseball or with the Mets, I mean, you're forever going to be looked at as a positive part of Mets history. And you can't really say that about a lot of guys that were only here for a short amount of time. Hopefully you're here for a very long time. But every single Mets fan is like absolutely loves you. And here you were grinding it out and not giving up and knowing that you could have a positive impact on this team and then getting up and delivering on that. I mean, that's got to be the most satisfying feeling you've ever had in your career.
It is. It is. I'm not going to lie. I've been through playoff before. I've been through All-Stars. But what I experienced and felt this year, it was special because, you know, I gave to this organization everything I got. I'm glad I'm starting to support Francisco Lindor, you know, the guy who wants to win so bad. Brandon Nemo, you know, those guys, that they're going to be here for a long time. And I'm just jumping the bandwagon and supporting him to accomplish that goal. And, you know, my relationship with Lindor, you know, being next to me, second shortstop, it's special. I totally get it, what he wants to do. And then I just, you know, jump on the same page with him and help him to do that. And, you know, we create the group together. We work in the right direction to change the culture of this great organization, the Steve and Alex running. You know, it's a dream come true. It's a dream come true. Like I say, I don't know how that plays out, but I'd totally be surprised if I'm not coming back to New York.
Well, we hope you are. You know, in 2018, I read this, you became a naturalized citizen of this country. You defected from Cuba. And I'm just wondering, just give people a perspective, Jose, of how difficult that was for you to do that.
Well, I mean, it's difficult, right? I left everything behind. I left my culture. I left my my family. I came to this country with the dream to be a big league player. I crossed the border. And a year after, I signed a big league deal with the Red Sox back then. And then that's how my career started. And it's a big sacrifice, right? It's a big sacrifice that I made. I was 18 years old, and then I left everything behind just to be here today. You know what I'm saying? And I'm very, very humble and very pleased with everything I've done and the way I do it. I'm glad I lead by example for a lot of young players that has that in mind and they want to accomplish something. And it wasn't pretty, but we got it done. And, I'm glad I lead by example and made it through.
Jose, it's great talking to you this morning. I can't wait to meet you and watch you perform on Friday night. It means the world to us. So great stuff this morning, and we'll see you in a couple days.
Absolutely, guys. I'm excited. See you all Friday.
All right. Sounds good, Jose. Travel safe.
Yeah, Jose Iglesias.
How do you not love that guy?
Oh, my goodness. And if you're a Met fan, you love him. He's also going to be a part of the meet and greet, and there are some VIP tickets left. If you go to WFAN.com/live, you scroll down to the link to Ticketmaster, just put in Boomer and Geo Live at the Paramount, and the Ticketmaster link will come up for you. So if you buy one of the VIP tickets, you'll get a meet and greet with us. You'll get a bunch of gifts, and you get a meet and greet with Jose Iglesias. And there's also a few of the regular tickets there as well. So, I mean, this guy is...
I'm telling you, you got to go back to his 2023 year and just look at all the different baseball teams he played on.
He didn't give up.
He never gave up. And obviously,
in his mid-30s, by the way.
Well, yeah, I know. He defected from Cuba. So that's the first thing that he had to fight through. And then he became a naturalized citizen, I think, in 2018. And, he is one of those guys that, took every opportunity he possibly could take and made the most out of everything. And look where he is now.
Yeah. I didn't think I could like him more. And now I like him even more than I did listening to that interview. And some of the stuff that he said is all you want as a fan. Like the way he said, like how desperately the team wanted to win and now how he could just contribute with the bat and the glove so much, but it was about the leadership and the clubhouse and bringing the team together. That's all you want as a fan, because sometimes as fans, you're like, oh, this guy's just there for the paycheck, or this guy doesn't care about winning as much as I do. And that's what made that 2024 team so special, is you believe that they cared as much about winning as the fan base did, who've been starved for years and years and years.
But it goes to show you what winning does, because they got off to a horrendous start.
Yep.
And we were all sitting here going, talking about trade deadline, not acquisitions, but departures and sellers. And then all of a sudden, they catch a little bit of fire. He gets up here on May 31st, and from May 31st to, I think, like September 1st, they had one of the best records, if not the best record in baseball.
It was the best record, yeah.
Yeah, so he was a big part of that. I mean, and his numbers say that. I mean, and he also stabilized the position and was moving around and did a lot of different things for this team. You know, I don't necessarily know that you could really put a number on the importance of that.
Like, yeah, right. That's what he said. He says you can't put it in a computer. Yeah.
I can, but I certainly can say that he's a winning player, has a winning attitude, and, touched on all the right points in regards to the Mets. Hopefully they bring him back. Hopefully he performs, and hopefully he's a part of something that's going to be special this year.
And if you want to see a wild live show with us and Jose Iglesias performing and finishing the night with OMG, as I mentioned, Boomer and Geo Live at the Paramount this Friday. You can go to WFAN.com/live and find the link there. Just Google Boomer and Geo Live, go to the Ticketmaster link, and you can get your tickets there. And if you get a VIP ticket, you get a meet and greet with us and Jose Iglesias.
Oh, right. My God!
Oh, Megan!
We should dress Al up as Pitbull.
He kind of looks like him. Mr. Worldwide, Mr. Yeah. 305.
I could dance around.
Yeah, for sure. Put that suit on that he does. I mean, yeah, it could look. I mean, he's a little thin to be Pitbull, a little thin, but everything else I think he's got. Also, the same attitude,
Yeah.
When I think Al Dukes, I think Mr. Worldwide, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Party, always looking for a good time.
Always traveling all over the world, bringing the party to the people.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Oh, Jerry Recco's back. We got Adam and the Metal Hawks in a half hour from now. What's up, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we're brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Big night for a Texans running back. He went for not one, not two, but how about the trifecta?
Backs in an eye.
Stover and Nixon. First and goal from the one. Hand off Joe. Right side run. He's in. Touchdown. Hat trick. Joe Mixon scores.
Yeah, three touchdowns on the night for Joe Mixon, the Texans, after those back-to-back losses and that tough loss to the Lions, in which they had the five interceptions and still lost the game, bounce back and clobber the Cowboys 34-10. Here was Mixon on ESPN postgame. We were ready.
Pretty much, I thought we had a hell of a week of practice. It started with that. We knew we was going to pretty much get their best shot. They tried the fake punt early.
Right.
And pretty much we did whatever we could to capitalize.
That was hilarious, Flynn, by the way, the fake punt.
Yeah.
It just came up 3 yards short. And I don't know this for a fact, and I don't know if Mike McCarthy was asked about it or not afterwards, but it looked like he went to John Fossil as if to say, what was that?
Yeah.
They called it on their own 30-yard line in the first quarter. It didn't work.
Well, I kind of understand what they're doing. I mean, they're trying to just win any way they can, utilize every little aspect of the game. You know, they're so compromised offensively that they got to do something.
Well, that didn't work.
It's kind of like, you know, the Steelers try to do that, and they call a play, and the play is perfect, but the guy just doesn't catch the ball.
You know what the difference with the Steelers is? Their defense is phenomenal.
Yes.
The only other funnier play, I think, this year was when the Giants on that two-point conversion. Remember that one? Where Daniel Jones threw the ball that the guy just broke through and had everybody on the left-hand side.
Oh, and he ran right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All the offensive linemen were over there, and then the defender just broke through, and they didn't even block him, and he hit him. He's like, what in the hell was that?
And that was a rough one.
Yeah.
Here is D'Amico Ryans. We talked about the Derek Barnett fumble return for a touchdown. The Cowboys fumbled twice on the same play. He believes that was huge.
Derek Barnett, the play he made really changed the game for us, right? It flipped the momentum. It got everybody juiced up on the sideline. It was just a huge play. Him one. Get the strip sack, and for Petrie to come up and force the ball out, like, when something we talk about and we harp on is attacking the football.
And that's what they did, and it went for 7 the other way for the Cowboys. While Houston is 7-4, Dallas is 3-7. Here's CeeDee Lamb.
It sucks, to be honest. I mean, it's not so much coping, it's moving on to the next one. I mean, you can't dwell on it. I mean, what happens in the past is now in the past.
It is, and now they get your ass sucks.
Oh, wow, Jerry.
That was
I will say one thing. For them, just like for the Giants, it's going to be a long 7 weeks.
Yeah, that is true. Well, here's the good news. Giants, Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Somebody's got to win.
Mm.
It stinks like ass.
Right.
Right. Anyhow,
I don't know how the Cowboys keep you as their voice.
I am not their voice. I wish I was their voice. I am not their voice. Giants head coach Brian Daboll with the media on a Zoom Monday. We know Tommy DeVito starting against the Bucs on Sunday.
With cheese.
He was asked a couple of different ways. He really doesn't answer. Well, I guess he does, sort of. Why DeVito and not Drew Lock?
We went back and we looked at a lot of stuff. We talked about a lot of things and just felt like this was the right move at this time for us. So Tommy will be working hard to get ready to play, and I know Drew will be a good teammate with him, and we'll just focus on trying to get better and get ready for this week.
Yeah, they did ask about the injury guarantee with Daniel Jones. He really didn't answer it. He asked about if ownership had anything to say. He didn't really answer it.
Hey, look, at the end of the day, the coach is never going to divulge ownership conversations. You just can't. And this seems to me like, you know, it's great that Tommy gets an opportunity. I do believe that it is a gift to the fans to have Tommy DeVito playing as opposed to, you know, alternatives. But that's really what this comes down to. And now it's up to Tommy to make it happen like he did last year.
I'm going to play a reporter question for you.
Okay.
To an NFL head coach about his quarterback. And you tell me who you think that they are talking about.
Does he look hesitant or gun-shy?
Caleb Williams.
That's Aaron a very Rodgers. Good guess. Yeah, you would think that would be a question to Brian Daboll about Daniel Jones.
Aaron Rodgers.
Or Matt Eberflus. You are correct. That was Rich Cimini to interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich.
I knew the voice. I got to be honest with you.
About Aaron Rodgers.
Does he look hesitant or gun-shy?
No, I think he has a... he's historically one of the best as far as protecting the ball and not putting the ball in jeopardy. So I think a lot of it's that.
I think he was almost caught off guard by the question because he definitely stumbled through that
one. Caught off guard by every question. Man, he shouldn't be doing this. Yeah, like,
understood.
It's not even his fault. He shouldn't be doing this.
Here was Bill Belichick on SiriusXM. What are you seeing from this version of Aaron Rodgers?
You know, again, Jen, it's really hard when you're not
on the inside on with these guys. You're not sure exactly what they're being told, how maybe where they have some physical limitations, but they're playing through them. Certainly with Aaron, you know, I mean, I'm not sure. You still see the snap in his throws. You still see the ball come out quickly and accurately. Maybe a little less mobile than he was.
Well, that's for sure. But not much of an answer there other than it's not working. And then oddly enough, how do you think Joe B was taking these losses?
I think at this point now he is cashed out and wants the number one overall pick. And I did not hear him yesterday, but I would just knowing Joe all these years, I think that emotionally he's detached himself from this group.
Calmer than I expected for sure as Evan introduced him yesterday.
This franchise sucks. How are you?
They're a disaster. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, yesterday was, you know, probably in a season of one brutal loss after another, I thought yesterday might have been the worst of all of them. I really did.
Very calm.
You know, it's amazing, like how we always talk about this loss is worse than that loss. This, like, they didn't get blown out against the Colts. They didn't get blown out against Minnesota. They didn't get blown out against the Broncos. They did get embarrassed by the Steelers. They did get embarrassed by the Cardinals.
Bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I will say that the games have been tight for the most part, except for three games: the Cardinals, the Steelers, and the 49ers. In the other games, they had every chance to win the game, but instead of winning it, they found a way to lose it.
Yeah, and the defense lost a couple of them, the Patriot game and the Colt game.
Yes.
That is true. You know who wins a lot? Your Knickerbockers.
Mm. Yeah, oh man, they're smoking.
They made it three straight last night. They were at the Garden against the hapless Wizards.
Final minute here on the third. Brunson, corner three. Again, and a foul. Jalen Brunson ending the third quarter with a flourish.
And that was Mike Breen on MSG.
Jerry, you know what this is? This is taking care of business. That's what this is. No laying down.
Games.
The entire roster played last night. This Daddy A kid looks pretty good. Throws those moon threes up. How do you say his first name, by the way?
I don't know.
Anybody know?
I don't know.
Nope.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
I'm not going to try to attempt to announce it.
I think it might be Pupovich.
No.
No? Anyhow, Brunson had 26.
Is it Pacome?
I'm not sure. I really am not
like
sure.
Suave Boundle.
26 and 11 assists. Carl Anthony Towns 24 and 12. Here was Brunson on MSG. We are just starting.
It's not a finished product. We want to continue to get better every single day. I sound like a broken record, but I mean, that's literally what we talk about every single day. I mean, not staying complacent. Just sticking to who we are and believing in each other.
All right, let's keep going, baby.
Carl Anthony Towns saying a lot of the same.
I mean, it's just gelling, continuity, you know, getting more acclimated with each other, just understanding what everyone's going to do and how they're going to cut and just building that trust with each other.
Mm. And they are now 8-6 on the season, having won three straight and 4 of 5. The Wizards have lost 9 in a row. They are now 2-11 on the season. The Heat beat the Sixers 106-89. Philly 2-11 on the year. And the Raptors beat the Pacers. RJ Barrett had 39. That's the positive. The negative, he needed that to snap a 7-game losing streak, but a win is a win.
Feels great. You know, we earned that one. For sure. We earned that one, and obviously they're a team that can put up a lot of points.
And they matched them and put up 130 themselves. I know they haven't won games, but he's had a nice scoring stretch, has Barrett. Nets home for the Hornets tonight. We will have that on the Fan. And the Cavaliers, 15-0, will be in, what is Boston, 11-3? Does that sound right? Something like that? So that's a pretty good game against the Celtics tonight. Yankees pitcher Luis Gil, one of baseball's rookies of the year, along with Pirates pitcher Paul Skeens. Here was Gil through a translator. He joins Derek Jeter and Aaron Judge as the most recent Yankees to win the award.
First of all, your dream is to make it to the big leagues, but once you get there, you want to contribute, you want to do your job, you want to help the team, you know, and to be in the same line as those two guys that you mentioned, you know, those guys are legends, you know, and very excited, happy for the opportunity and, you know, incredible.
I would say so. He certainly had a hell of a start to the season, as we know, dipped a little bit, was injured, and then finished strong as well. So he is one of the rookies of the year. You've got the Rangers in Vancouver tonight, the Islanders facing the Flames. And I wouldn't usually do this, but Alex Ovechkin is having a hell of a start to the season. And last night he added to it.
5 seconds left in a penalty. Well, as the Capitals dump in, 4 goals in their last 6 chances, but about to be 0 for 1 here. Here's Ovechkin. He scores as the power play expired. Alex Ovechkin does it again.
So that was the first of his 2 last night.
He's starting to look like a guy that would be part of a prisoner swap.
We may have to do that, by the way.
He did get hurt.
Yes, he did. He hurt his leg in the third period last night.
Correct. Yeah. He ran into a player or something like that. But yes, two goals last night. He's got 868. He has had a hell of a start. Washington beat the Utah Hockey Club 6-2. He is, I think it's 26 away now from Wayne Gretzky's record. So cool for him. College basketball, UConn now number 2 in the latest AP Top 25 poll. St. John's remains at 22. Rutgers at 24. I think St. John's is in the Bahamas this week.
Yeah, they are.
As a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So the Mink Man is going to be out there with his sunglasses and his shorts.
Is that a Bahamar? Yeah, yeah. 50 sunscreen.
So yeah, St. John's out in the Bahamas.
Jerry, before you leave, Brian in Northport. Brian, what's happening?
Hey guys, what's happening? How you doing?
All right.
What's up, Brian?
Gio, so first off, I'm glad you didn't die the other night. That's good.
Thank you.
If you did, though, have you laid plans out with your wife? Like, is she allowed to move on?
Well, of course. Yeah. No, we haven't. Yeah, we haven't talked about it. But yeah, I would assume that she'd have to. I mean, especially if we're talking. I mean, she just turned 40. I can't expect her to be the single mom for the rest of her life. You know.
Well, I'm the same age, basically, little kids, but. I told my wife, you do what you want, but I'm going to be waiting on the other side, and I'll be watching.
That's funny, Brian. Yeah, threatening your wife from the afterlife. Yeah, I mean, I think the practical answer is, yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
You go in there, you have sex right now.
Get it over with.
Yeah, I hope there would be just a little bit of time in between, you know, like at least maybe
right, next Friday.
Like 4 or 5 days.
Explore all possibilities.
Oh, my goodness.
Funny question.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, we'll see you next hour, huh? Mm.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Found this humorous. When I was reading the New York Post, it says in the sports section, John Sterling shares advice for New York Yankees voice Dave Sims. And in the article, it says, John Sterling, quote, I don't give advice. So I don't know what the advice is.
Yeah, he wouldn't give advice to a guy who is 71 years old and has been doing this for years and years and years and years. You just say, hey, congratulations, good luck, and enjoy your time.
Right, exactly. And I think that's probably the whole point with John Sterling. He's like, not like Dave Sims is one of the younger guys.
Yeah.
In this business, he knows what he's doing.
It wasn't like I was giving Matt Ryan any advice.
Yeah, well.
Said, hey, congratulations, Matt. Enjoy it. Love the seat, which he actually has done.
That's a little bit different, though. You could get away with giving Matt Ryan advice in that situation. Like, Dave Sims has done baseball play-by-play for decades. You know, Matt Ryan had called some games, and he was in the studio a little bit with you guys, but really, he had not done that. So, like, if he had asked you for advice, that wouldn't have been crazy.
Yeah, but all I told him was, hey, congratulations, enjoy this, you know, love the seat, love the sport, and bring it on every Sunday. And that's what he's done. So,
yeah, jump through a table.
Yeah.
Do what you gotta do.
I wouldn't have done that.
You really would have said no to that if everybody was doing it?
You know, me and Phil are a little bit older than those guys. Now, well, I know. I sent Bill Cowher a note. I said, you know, coach, man, we were worried about you.
Yeah. And what did he say?
He goes, I loved it.
It was great. It was fun.
He said he loved it.
Got my testosterone going.
Here he goes. I feel like his neck's going to snap every time I watch that. I'm glad everybody was okay there in the NFL today.
Yeah.
So, by the way, I did just want to read this. You know, I got involved in the last Gary Myers, Carl Banks, BT, and Sal.
Oh, so now we're going back to that again.
I just wanted to read this to you. I just felt like you'd enjoy this particular quote. Now, I'm not going to get involved like I did last time, but, you know, I defended BT and Sal, defended Spike. You know, at this point, I just want to be a conduit now just to provide you the information of what's going on in this Twitter beef rebirth.
Okay.
So Spike Eskin, our former program director, he quote tweets this Gary Myers post about how nobody's like Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata are criticizing me or whatever. So he quotes tweets that and says, Gary Myers is one of the most annoying humans on the planet. If they ever write a book about him, it will be one of the most boring, annoying books ever written. It will be the Bible of boring. Oh. He sucks in a way I cannot put into words.
Yeah, man, that's not nice.
That's the old Spike.
There you know,
you go. The new spike in WIP seems like very, very happy. I've talked to him on the phone a couple times. He was never that happy here when I've talked to him. He loves his job. But the old Spike came out there for a little bit. You know?
Ooh, that's being Spike.
This is Spike Eskin, this skinny vegan hipster.
You know what? Speaking of that, like funny clips from the Boomer and Geo lives over the last couple of years. So do you guys know that PSA that runs in the middle of the night about the guy who's drunk at the party but knows he can get a ride home? Do you know this one? If we took out the guy in that actual PSA and put in Boomer from the first Boomer and Geo Live, it would be the funniest thing. Oh, you know, Brad's buzzed again. You look like crap, CeeLo. You know, like, oh man, he's starting to rile himself up. Shut the F up, you jerk off Devils fan.
We're the f- garbage.
Yeah! We gotta do that. We gotta go and get that PSA. Take out everything because the guys are going woot woot. They're like, oh, you start with the woots again. Put in you actually blacked out.
Yes,
it'll be hilarious.
Right,
but he knows to get a ride home. Oh, I love that guy. yeah, there's the original one with the leather. What a day we had, huh?
Oh yes,
I don't know if you knew about a ride home more that you just got poured into an Uber.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why Sean Argerman left, was that whole situation.
I was having
yeah.
a good time, man. What yeah. can I tell you?
Someone, I think
What's
it was
wrong
Sean.
With having a good time?
No,
no
nothing.
Steam, man.
Nothing. Don't get defensive. Don't get. We
By
loved
the way,
it.
We loved it.
It was okay. great. Everybody was happy. This is what you get from Boomer and Geo Live. Is things you never expect, and it was great. And versions of ourselves that are different. But I remember, I think it was either Sean or one of the other sales guys, Sean Argerman at the time, when they put you in there. And threw your phone into the Uber and like shut the door like they had put in a mountain lion in there. You know? Like, quick, get him out of here. Threw the phone in, shut the door. Took off. Not our problem anymore.
Yep.
But anyway, yes. So the next Boomer and Geo Live will be happening. And we got Josh Bailey and Cal Clutterbuck, another surprise guest that I don't want to mention because I just don't want to, I want to keep something a surprise. Founders Room, it'll be huge. So, go to WFAN.com/live. Of course, Jose Iglesias we just had on. He will be there performing OMG, and Adam and the Metalhawks, which will be joining us next, will be there again as well. And they are as entertaining as it gets with the live music. And they'll be joining us to entertain us this morning next.